Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which is coming to you today from University Hall. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, the official website of UVA Athletics. My guest today is Lars Tiffany, whose first season as head men's lacrosse coach here is about to start. Lars, great to have you back.
Jeff, it's wonderful to be with you. I love talking lacrosse and love talking about the University of Virginia.
Your opener is on Saturday, February 11th at Loyola. Chances are, given that it'll be early February in Baltimore, it will be cold. There's been a lot of talk in the college lacrosse world about the calendar for the sport and potentially pushing things back. What are your thoughts on that? Are you wed to the idea of wrapping everything up on Memorial Day weekend, or would you like to start a little later?
Oh, it's a great question. I love talking about this. I wish more people were talking about this issue. I wish us college coaches were talking about this issue. We may be the only team sport that does not have a start date for practice nor a start date for the regular season play, and we need it. We've allowed this to evolve into where college coaches have all the freedom to do what they want. College coaches love control. They love being able to maneuver. Unfortunately, that meant is maneuvering into games into early February. There's no restrictions. Somebody could play a game in January if they really wanted to. And so I really wish we'd have like a March 1 start date. The competition for attention for our fans going head-to-head with basketball is a contest we're going to lose every time as a sport of men's lacrosse. And so we have to get away from the February games. And obviously, you know, who's at lacrosse games in February? You know, it's the moms,
the diehards,
the girlfriends, yeah. The diehards, and that's it. And we're freezing them, and we're making, and we're not being very hospitable. So, and the back end, as you mentioned, we just plow through Memorial Day. There's already been a template. There's a roadmap here. Softball and baseball have done it. They figured out the issues with final exams and with housing. So there's a template there that we should be following. I would love to have a March 1 start date and maybe a mid to late June national championship.
So your players came back to school for the spring semester early this month or middle of this month. You started practice. You had two scrimmages last weekend on Sunday, scrimmage Bucknell and UMBC here in Charlottesville. This Saturday, you scrimmage Maryland in College Park, right?
Yes.
First of all, how did the first two go, and what were you hoping to see, and what did you take away from them?
Going into the Bucknell and UBC scrimmages, I assumed that we would be behind schematically because we spent most of the fall trying to make better lacrosse players, individually better decision makers, better shooters, better feeders, as opposed to putting in sort of these grand big schemes and then fitting the components in there. No, let's make better components. Let's make better individual athletes and lacrosse players. Came out of it recognizing that it's hard to change humans when they've been doing something a certain way, especially if they've been told that they're really good at doing it a certain way. So, for example, we're trying to play this ferocious, up-tempo, fast-paced style. And yet on Sunday, there was a hesitation, offensively and even more so defensively. You know, and I think it's just natural to revert back to what you've done for years successfully. And so I know this is a process. It's a growing process for all of our men. But I'm just a little surprised because I feel like if I unleash you, if I take the handcuffs off, I'm assuming, bam, we're going to go fly around, double team the ball, you know, create havoc. And there's still a little bit of hesitation there. So the plus side is the first scrimmage, Bucknell, there was the hesitation, and then we had time to talk about it in between, and then we did see a bit more of that intensity and aggressiveness, pressing out defensively, pushing the tempo offensively. And so we got obviously a great challenge here Saturday against one of the premier programs in the country, and we're going to employ our systems, and Maryland's really good, so they're going to be able to show us where we're weak. We could employ our system properly, and Maryland could still score goals, and that's great. But for us, in practice, watching a ton of film, just continuing to show where they're being hesitant instead of being, you know, competitive and confrontational.
Obviously, your last game at Brown was against Maryland in the NCAA semifinals last spring. The Terps ended up winning 15-14 in overtime. Will it be strange at all to see them again so quickly?
maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it'd be therapeutic to put the last one behind me. I look back to that national semifinal game, with pride and a smile. The post game conference, I told the crowd immediately that, boy, that was fun. You know, and I know all of us coaches, we wear there are emotions on our sleeves, and it's all, you know, in the end, about building difference makers and leaders. But we want to win every game. But I just felt like I can't focus on the negative coming out of that game. It was a great game. It was an overtime game, and it was there for the taking for us. It'll be maybe a little bit, going out, stepping on the field and seeing John Tillman and the Terrapins on the other side of the field. But what I'm really excited about is Maryland has arrived. Their program is where it needs to be. It's a great beacon for us, a guiding light to where we're going and where we need to get to. The question is, how long is it going to take? But I'm really, really impressed with John Tillman and what he's done with the Maryland program.
Because of time constraints today, we can't realistically talk about every player on the roster or talk in detail about every position. But I do want to ask you about some guys, starting with the first-year class. These are players who were recruited by your predecessor, Dom Starja. Were you familiar with any of these guys before they arrived on grounds in August?
Yes.
Or maybe in July in some cases?
Yes. Some I was familiar with, but others I didn't know much about.
And is that kind of it's got to be an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Well, it's a really interesting dynamic, Jeff, when you think that I inherited, Kip, Sean, and I inherited 26 commitments between the 17, 18, and 19 classes. So not only these freshmen who are here now, who graduated in 2016 from high school, but coming forward, there's a lot of people I have to meet. We had the 2017s here this past weekend for the official visits, and some of them the very first time I had my chance to meet them. It's an interesting dynamic, you're coming to school here, you've committed, you've signed your national letter of intent, and you and I have never met. Maybe we've talked on the phone, but some of these freshmen, Wade Maloney, we had recruited at Brown. Mm-hmm. His dad's a Brown alum, and I'd known him well, and I've seen him up at Lake Placid with his dad playing old man lacrosse up there a lot, so I knew him pretty well. But the majority of these men, I probably didn't really know a whole lot about. I knew how talented certainly some of them were. But it's an interesting dynamic that they've got to, you commit to one's coaching staff and then you got a different one there waiting for you. Fortunately, I've got great people in terms of Sean and Kip. They're wonderful human beings. They're really positive and upbeat, and you want to play for those guys.
What are your impressions of the first year class, and which of those guys do you need to contribute this spring, and do you expect to contribute?
Yeah, first of all, we'll start out on attack. Michael Krause is ready to make an impact.
Who has, obviously, his uncle and his father played here and played well. So
yeah.
He's a legacy.
We're really fortunate that that probably helped Dom. You know, not that Dom needed much help in the recruiting process. He's the best recruiter ever in this game. But we're really fortunate to have him. We need him to score goals. Again, I heard a lot about this coming out of the football program with Broncos team, that the will was there, the skill made up been
right
there. We've got talent, we've got athleticism, we've got heart. But in terms of the lacrosse-specific skills, we may not be quite where we need to be. Michael Krause does have those skills. He can put the ball away. So we'll be probably leaning on him more than maybe feeling comfortable normally leaning on a freshman or a first year. Jared Connors has already demonstrated to us that he can play this game at a high level as a long stick middie. And he fits the system that we need. We want to play fast and up-tempo. We need long-stick middies who can create that tempo, can go from the defensive end to the offensive end and be a threat offensively, pick up the ball. And he is he's already proving that he's very comfortable on the offensive end of the field. So just watch for number 28, Jared Connors, doing quite a bit in his first year with us. There's two other midfielders who are really athletic, Milan Murray and Dox Aiken.
Right.
Those two are they're going to grow with us. There'll be some growing pains, obviously, with the first years. Both of them have to improve, whether Dox, who's we're going to put into a two-way midfielder position, mm-hmm. and his defense he has to work on. Milan's his game IQ has to improve. But, boy, when those guys, when they get rolling and they're running up and down the field, it's impressive athletically. And so look for those two as well. There's a couple other freshmen as well that we think could help us early on. In general, I think it's a better class than maybe we assumed when we first got here, and I think it's one of the better classes that we have now. We really like the senior class, the final year class, the fourth and fifth years, And I really like this freshman class.
One of those fifth-year guys is a guy that I think you've referred to as one of your key recruits. That's Michael Howard, you know, persuading him to return for a fifth year here. He has played long stick. He can also play close defense. How are you going to use him?
We're still trying to figure that out. He did not play at all this fall, and the rust is still there. Surprising for a fifth year. He's not quite at the level that he knows he can play at yet. The speed of the game is he's not caught up yet to, but we know what he can do. We know what he's capable of, having played Virginia last year and how much he scored a goal against the Brown team last year and what he was able to do. So is he close? Is he a long stick midi? He'll probably end up being in the middle of the field, but yeah, we're still waiting for the 2016 Michael Howard to emerge, and we know it's coming out. We just hope sooner than later.
Mike DeMario started 14 games on attack here last season, was fourth on the team with 15 goals. What have you seen? What did you see from him in the fall and so far? He scored a ton of goals in high school, came here, did not have a big impact as a freshman, obviously had a bigger role last year, but was still kind of inconsistent. Mm-hmm.
What we're excited about with Mike is how he finished the fall. His fall, September and October, were decent, just okay. We put up a depth chart. We're transparent with our depth chart. You walk in my office, you can see if you're the number one attackman or number nine, and there it was. He came in the office November 1st, and he saw himself much further down that depth chart than he was anticipating. And the reaction he made was perfect. You know, we had a scrimmage that following weekend with the alumni, and he actually told one of the alums, "Hey, sorry, I got to work on some things here today." And he ripped it up.
He put in a lot of goals. Right?
He scored four goals, had a couple assists, and he was a man possessed. And so we're seeing that now here this spring. So Mikey's a goal scorer. Again, we need all the goal scorers we can have because I don't think we don't have a team filled of that type of skill. Krause is showing that he can do it. Zed Williams is showing that he can do it. And Mikey is certainly somebody who can stretch a defense too. He's got the inside game, but he can also kind of like a fast wide receiver who can give you a bomb threat in football. He can stretch a defense because he can score from 14, 15 yards.
When you were on this podcast in the fall, I think we ran out of time. I meant to ask you about Zed Williams. We never got around to it. I mean, take away his lacrosse talent. He's a special young man, isn't he?
He's wonderful. He's probably the shyest person I've ever met, especially considering most athletes, you know, there's some bravado.
He doesn't have that swagger off the field, at least.
He really doesn't. I don't even know if he has it on the field. But yesterday's practice, it was fun because Joe French was getting him fired up, and you know he and Joe were playing well. They scored a bunch of goals in practice, and they were not just faking the enthusiasm, but manufacturing it a bit. And so Zed had a really good scrimmage against Bucknell. He had, you know, I think we had six goals or seven goals at half, and he was a part of five of those. And he's starting to really flourish at the attack.
Moved him from midi to attack, right?
Exactly.
What was your thinking with that?
Just put the best goal scorers and the best scorers near the goal. I mean, it's a really simple mindset there, but it's just like, wait a minute. Here's a guy who can score goals. He's got great vision. He can make feeds. Let's put him near the goal, you know, and as simple as that. And so he is – also, we're trying to unleash him. Don't worry about turnovers. Don't worry about mistakes. In box across, obviously, the ball doesn't go out of bounds, you know, unless it goes over the boards into the crowd. So we want him to play like that. Like, just imagine if that guy doesn't catch that ball – it may be bounced back. Well, the bounce back for us is we ride it back. But don't worry about the turnovers. Just play. And he's really flourishing with that freedom.
Were you aware, I don't know if you recruited him at Brown, but were you aware of his high school exploits and all the goals and assists he put up over, I think, his 5 years, maybe 6 years on the varsity?
I was only aware probably just reading from your own stories and your own reports. He was not somebody we had known about at Brown during the recruiting process. And reading the Virginia news reports, that's how I found out how much of a special player he's been.
He started in the midfield last year. He's on attack now. I don't know if you want to divulge your depth chart or give away anything, but what's your midfield, your first and second groups? Who do you think will be in there? There's some familiar names I know from last year.
It's probably the strength of the team is our midfield. The question is, do we play two-way midfielders? Or are we specializing? We really want to play two-way midfielders. Ryan Conrad fits that mold. He can run up and down the field and play all day. Will McNamara fits that mold. He's probably a little bit better defensively, but his offensive game is developing. We want Dox Aitken to develop into a two-way midfielder. If you see our system and you watch it, the men quickly realize if you're a second-line offensive midi, you never play because we're running so fast that we pick up the ball defensively and we're pushing forward with poles playing offense. Something happens. We score a goal, then we line up for a face-off. You don't put offensive middies out there during a face-off. We don't score. We get saved. Our defense runs back in a hole. And so it's like you sort of catch into this sort of cycle of, well, when do you slow the game down and put your offensive middies in the game? So our offensive middies are starting to realize.
Got to play defense.
If I learn how to play defense, I get to play more. And so that's what we're trying to do with Docs right now. And A.J. Fish, he's starting to adapt to a little bit more defense. So it's my responsibility to make sure they get enough defensive reps so they're comfortable. So there's a give and take, as if you specialize, for example, Matt Jama, Jack Falk, David Smith, who are just only know the defense and probably know it better, 6v6. So do you sacrifice if you have a freshman like Docs down there with a Ryan Conrad, who they may not know the 6v6 defensive slide schemes as intricately, but boy, they give us so much more in that transition up and down phase.
You actually picked up a couple transfers, didn't you, this year? Or they tried out for the team and made it. I think two that I know of, Cameron Stafford, mm-hmm. who played at Vermont, and then Lawson
Pisani.
Pisani,
yeah.
Good Italian. And he was on the Boston College club team. What have you seen from them so far? And is the jump from club to the University of Virginia as great as some people might think?
It is a great jump. It's a big chasm. They did some nice things in the fall, and they certainly earned a spot with this program. So far in January, we're probably not seeing enough out of them to consider them to be playing meaningful minutes yet. But it's all part of the growth. Lawson actually broke a collarbone after make the team, maybe he had one more week, then he broke his collarbone, so he missed the entire fall after that. And so that really stunted his potential growth, and he needs reps against the bigger, stronger defenseman right. at the Division I level. Cam's a nifty goal scorer. He could sneak in on our man up. He is really nifty, and he knows how to find the back of the net. Those two still have the potential.
Your top returning scorer from last season, Ryan Lukovec, fourth-year attackman, how big an adjustment to your system has it been for him? And are you asking him to do, different things?
We are asking him to do different things.
Is he behind the cage still, or have you moved him?
He's behind the cage, but he's more of a midfielder. And so what he is finding is he's got to accept a different role. And fortunately, Ryan's great. He's a captain for a reason. The men know that he'll do whatever he needs to do for the program. He's one of the hardest working men. Obviously, if you ride a bicycle 3,000 miles across the country, you're not afraid of any challenge that we can throw at you in the weight room on the field. And wonderful personality, wonderful young man. And I know he would probably love to be starting an attack. Everyone wants to start an attack. All of us former defensemen want to be attackmen. The role that we think is going to best suit us to attack our opponents is bringing Ryan out of the box as a midfielder and then putting him back behind the goal. And taking advantage of his vision, of his experience, but now maybe against some short stick defenders. The opponent obviously could put a long stick midi on him.
Right.
Now that frees up some of these big, strong middies like the Milan Murrays, Dox Aitkens, A.J. Fishes with some short sticks. And so it's a role that he's accepting. I know in his heart it's probably not his primary wish, but if he accepts it, boy, it really gives our offense a big punch. The player last year we had at Brown who played that role is Bailey Tills, number 13, who had the four goals against Maryland right. in the semifinals. And so it can be a really, really dangerous role because you often now become sort of the quarterback. It's interesting in lacrosse where you've got the three attackmen have maybe the three best defenders guarding him. And maybe the long stick midi is guarding the best midfielder. And so now, in a sense, maybe your fourth or fifth guy now is your quarterback because he's the one dodging and initiating. Yeah. I love that if that's Ryan Lukovec.
You have talked about the importance in your system, and I'm sure it's important in every system, but particularly so of face-offs and goalie play. You said your goalie can be, left out, hung out, and it's going to have to make some saves, going to face a lot of shots. Face-off has kind of been done by committee here in recent years. You've got some options there. What are your thoughts on the development of that group and – with Matt Baird out of the mix, how do things look at goalie?
Yeah. You're right. That the face-off X and the goalie play, every college coach is going to say how critical that is. But we certainly are going to – we have even more reason to emphasize that, because if we're going to play games where there's upwards of 30 to 40 face-offs, then there's a lot more shots being taken. So our goalie's going to see 45 to 55 shots instead of 25 to 35 shots. Our face-off men are going to be a part of 30 to 35 face-offs instead of, you know, 20. Mm-hmm. And so now, if you're not very good at either of those areas, it's really being exposed even greater, you know, just the analytics of the thing. So it's really an emphasis is improvement there. Kip Turner's got a lot on his plate. He's doing a phenomenal job. In the goal, I'll start there. Right now, Will Raley is probably the front runner.
Right.
But there's still competition there. The guys behind him are pushing him. Griffin Thompson, the freshman, he's only a freshman, and there's a lot of emotional growth that he needs to do as to be a starting goalie. But he's got a skill set. He can make saves. Ryan Montgomery has been great in practice. And then we actually just picked up another transfer, just showed up here, William Hudson. He was at Holy Cross for a year and a half. And he's already demonstrated he's got some nice skills, and he can throw probably the best outlets of all our goalies, and outlets are important to us. The face-off X, probably similar. We have a lot of competition there. Jason Murphy's back, and he's doing a nice job. But there's a first year there, Luke Brugel,
yeah.
Who's kind of a natural at this. He's really built like a face-off guy. He's got the wrestling background, and his father was a wrestler. You know, it's just in the gene pool to grind it out and fight for, you know, tough things in life, yeah. Such as a ground ball on the face-off X. But David Smith has done a nice job countering.
Murphy actually, I mean, his percentage was really good last year. I think, you know, he can just get banged up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think he didn't play against you.
Right.
When Virginia played Brown, right? He missed that game.
He missed that game, and you could really feel that because Brown had two very talented faceoff men last year, yeah. Between Garal and Ottens. And Virginia just couldn't respond without Murphy as well as they normally could. And then even Ryan Conrad took a few faceoffs against us in that game on April 30th. And again, when you play at a fast pace like we did at Brown and we're going to do at Virginia, and you can win faceoffs, you can just keep pounding and pounding, right. And almost emotionally demoralize a team because, you know, you score a goal and then you get the ball back and you just go keep hunting the defense and pushing the defense. So those are two areas that the system we have depends on those even more than most systems. And so those are areas that are going to be really, really critical as we jump into this 2017 season.
So you're 7-8 months on the job here now, I think, something in that range. You're starting to feel at home, you know, not only in Charlottesville, but at UVA and around the McHugh Center. Or have you felt that way for a long time now?
Maybe when I got... You know, I am starting to feel comfortable around here. It's still going to be different getting on a bus, you know, getting on a bus tomorrow, going overnight, you know, and driving north to Maryland for a game, you know, or a scrimmage,
yeah,
you know. And
I'm still south.
Instead of south. And I'm still getting used to the fact that we're like a travel party of 56 people. You know, at Brown, it was about 40, you know, between the team and the trainer
support,
came.
Yeah.
Now we've got, you know, the equipment people might be on the bus, the video people. I'm like, who are all – we're an army. We're moving like an army. We got two vehicles. We got two buses. You know, this is all different. So in terms of, I'm still not settled there how we do our business that way. But in terms of this community opening their arms and embracing us, and you know, it's been really wonderful. It's a wonderful community to be a part of.
Well, good. Well, thanks again for your time. We're looking forward to the season. Again, Virginia's opener in men's lacrosse is Saturday, February 11th against Loyola in Baltimore. The home opener is a week later against Drexel at Klockner Stadium. For the entire lacrosse schedule and information on all our teams, visit virginiasports.com. In the meantime, thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast.